Yo, you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And during today's show, we gave out hourly winning words for our 10K a day giveaway. Hopefully you heard them and you entered. Remember to keep listening every day, every hour for your chance to hear the hour's winning word. Just remember, you have to enter before 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. Good luck. And you get that cash. You get those bands. You get that Skrilla. You get that. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're going to get your chance to win some money of your own in just about 10 minutes. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN2. J. Will and Keyshawn are here. Max is out. I'm Amber Wilson filling in for him today. We are presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Give us a call in the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, gentlemen, we had a triple header on Thanksgiving in terms of the NFL. The Bills toppled the Lions 28-25. The Vikings got the better of the Patriots 33-26. We are going to get into both of those games. But let's start here. The Cowboys over the Giants 28-20.
Hold on, Amber. Happy Thanksgiving, Amber.
Happy Thanksgiving, Amber.
Happy Thanksgiving. However, you and I spoke yesterday, Jay. We already did the happy Thanksgiving thing because you were kind enough to come on your own show when I was hosting.
But this is all of us, though. This is our reunion. Anyway, I got 9,000 pictures from Key yesterday with every single meal that he cooked. So we got some talking to do about that first, Key. What happened yesterday? How many plates did you make?
What happened to your dry turkey?
Morning, Amber.
Good morning, Keyshawn.
Don't ever mind the other guy, not Jay, but the other guy talking, who can't cook at all. In fact, he ordered wings to go last night. So,
Pat,
just go figure.
Dry turkey.
You order wings to go, Pat?
I did not order wings to go.
He had a Caesar salad and wings to go.
He was at a hotel bar. I do believe that you did spend Thanksgiving at a hotel bar, Pat.
So what does that tell you?
He had almond salad and dry turkey, so I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, now I got to pull the picture of the turkey, though, because the turkey didn't look dry to me, Pat.
Actually, it was several turkeys, okay? So it wasn't one, mister.
Several.
It was several.
No one's surprised Keyshawn has several turkeys.
Well, I mean, it was 30 people, so... you know, we had a deep fry, we had a traditional, and then we had one that was like a giant turkey breast that was what is that? What are you doing?
That's a turkey. That's a turkey.
Who cooked this? Who cooked all these turkeys, Keyshawn? Is that a private chef doing that for you?
No.
No, Key gets that. Yeah, Key gets that.
Okay.
Private chef. I was up yesterday, Amber. I was up at 4 a.m. yesterday morning, and started cooking about 4:30 a.m. So. I cooked a lot of it. I didn't cook all of it. So,
if you're watching on ESPN2 right now, they are zooming in on a picture of the turkey that Key cooked, but on G Will's phone.
Yes.
High technology here. I honestly don't think it looks that dry. I got to be honest.
It looks great.
It looks good.
That's incredible.
Again, yes. Amber, before we move on to those great games yesterday, because I did think they were pretty good football games, and at the end of the day, we're talking to a guy
Sahara.
Who spent his Thanksgiving in a hotel bar.
He's sacrificing for the show, though, Key.
What? In a Caesar salad.
He's sacrificing for the show to be closer to the show to work today. That's
right. And he worked,
and he was
producing yesterday for us. Now, that's all well and good, except for we did learn right before the show that Pat doesn't like stuffing. And I just don't trust anybody who doesn't like stuffing.
Pat, you don't like stuffing?
No, I think it's overrated.
Pat hates Thanksgiving. I think
it's just not stuffing's just not delicious like that.
It is, though.
But didn't you guys get stuffing on the KJM draft the other day? Didn't the staff take stuffing? Or was that Max?
No, Max took all sides.
Max took every side possible.
He lost that joint.
And Key also took a different type of stuffing because we just drafted like 11 of the same dish for the draft, even though the staff won.
He had the Cajun stuffing. Yeah, the Cajun stuffing.
I heard that draft. Y'all were just making dishes up.
No.
Yes, you were. Yes, like there's not like 30 different types of stuffing at people's Thanksgivings.
Butterfly turkey.
No, I swear.
Yeah, what is butterfly turkey?
That was made up.
That's made up stuff right there.
You pulled that off the internet. I knew it immediately when he came with it. I said, Max, you pulled that off the internet, man.
He looked for like 30 minutes of the show for that one, Key. On his phone, just scrolling on Google.
Well, I'm glad both of you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Pat Costello, not so much, but I am glad that everybody had a good Thanksgiving. The Dallas Cowboys had a very good Thanksgiving. A week after scoring 40 points against Minnesota, they scored three consecutive touchdowns on three consecutive drives in the second half against the Giants, 28-20 win. That means the Cowboys, gentlemen, are now 8-3. It also means the Giants are now 7-4, a tough divisional stretch here for the New York Giants. Is it the end, Key, for Big Blue?
You know, I don't know that it's the end. I'm not ready to just throw them away just quite yet. I think they can still fall into a wild card playoff spot, that 6-7 seed, so to speak. And let's see if they could just chip away. They did not throw the ball well at all yesterday when it mattered most. I know they hit the big touchdown. I know that, you know, they did some things, but I mean, talking about methodically when they needed it, 4th-and-1, throwing the ball behind guys, things of that nature. And that was always sort of the case when you thought about Daniel Jones in a passing game. Can they do that when they need to, when they fall behind? Can they push the ball down the field? And they were not able to do it yesterday.
You see, Key, I'm going to go in opposite direction, Amber. I do believe that the Giants are done. And I think all season long, they've been punching above their weight class, right? They've been living above expectations, which has been great. This season has been a success. I've been trying to be practical on radio for the past couple of weeks because everybody gets always so excited. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, well, Saquon, they're stacking the box now. So the last couple of games, he's only been getting, what, he had 22 yards versus Detroit, 39 yards against the Cowboys the other day. We're playing with our third, fourth string corners out here. It's just their O-line is still decimated. Like, there's a lot of issues there when you know where the offense needs to come from each and every day. And now we're going to expect Daniel Jones to be, you know, Josh Allen. And that's not who he is. So playing the Eagles twice, the Commanders twice, the Vikings, like, I just don't see them making a run at it. I don't.
Yeah, it is a tough, tough schedule coming up. Daniel Jones last night, 21 of 35, 228 yards passing, one touchdown, zero interceptions. So, Key, where is the narrative now around Daniel Jones? I mean, he wasn't terrible yesterday by any means. Everybody was so hot on, though, Daniel Jones for the first half of this season. It seems like, all right, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, but he secured his spot here. He's going to get a deal from them. Does that change if they start dropping all these divisional games here down the stretch?
Well, I think it all depends. If he plays like he played yesterday in spurts, then I think it opens up the door for them to start to see if there's another option out there. They won't be too fast rushed to the table. You know, he didn't play bad, but when you watch the game, there's moments that they needed him to deliver the football, and he threw it behind the guy. He twisted, he turned in guys, things like that. That's what gets you in trouble. It's not the stat line. It's, can he deliver on 4th-and-1? It's 3rd-and-5. Can he deliver? Oh, we need him to convert on this. That was where they got into trouble at. And if that continues, then I'm sure they'll scratch their head and they'll say, well, we may want to, you know, slow things down just a little bit.
Any way you think, Amber, you can get him on that Jameis Winston deal? Well, it's like a 2-year, $28 million deal, something like that, something that kind of buys you some time with Daniel Jones? Because I get it as a Giants fan. If they're stacking the box and Saquon Barkley can't be prolific, am I reasonably expecting Daniel Jones to be the savior for this franchise in the last six games? Like, no, I feel like that's setting him up for failure more so than setting him up for success.
And another thing you got to think about, Amber and Jay, is they did go up against a pretty solid defense, a championship caliber defense. And so when you go up against a championship caliber defense and you don't really have an alpha dog at the receiver position, they're trying to manufacture Slayton, right? They're trying to force him to be their number one guy, and you just can't have that. They've got to go out and figure out how to get a guy, not this year, but next year, if they hold on to Daniel Jones, that's a difference maker in the passing game. You can get one guy that will be a difference maker. When you want to throw the football, you throw the football to him.
The Giants were up against a championship caliber defense, except for the Cowboys' rushing defense has left a lot to be desired this season. And yet the Giants last night as a team only rushed for 90 yards. Saquon, 11 carries, 39 yards. He did have a touchdown for them in terms of rushing. Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us, 888-8-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. All right, guys, it is time to win you some money, honey. So listen up. It's time for this hour's winning word for the KJM $10,000 a day giveaway. When you hear the winning word, text the word to 777-000, and you're entered for your chance to win. We'll do it every weekday from now until the end of the show on December 7th. No purchase necessary. Ends December 7th, 2022. See complete official rules at ESPNradio.com/contest.
KJ and Max, 10K giveaway.
Get that money. The winning word today is dry. Like, allegedly, Keyshawn Johnson's turkey was dry yesterday for
They're
Thanksgiving.
They're cruel up here, Key. They're cruel in here, man.
No, I can't listen to Pat.
Text dry to 777-000.
If dry is the winning word, then I'm willing to give the $2,500 away to whomever we select that texts in to 777-000. Yes, I am, for a dry turkey.
Well, I'm glad that you approved that, because we were doing that with or without your approval. So text DRY to 777-000. Coming up next here on KJM, Amber Wilson filling in for Max Kellerman. Why the Vikings remind us of a different team? We will explain. That is after Jay has this word from FanDuel.
Yep. Let me see if I can finally talk after 9 minutes into our show, Amber. Let's see. Here we go. Football season is heating up, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You see, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code PLAY. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. FanDuel has your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. So sign up today with promo code PLAY for your no-sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Nailed it!
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Amber That's Wilson filling in for Max. But Key and Jay are here, and they are here to talk about everything we saw in the NFL yesterday. The Minnesota Vikings, they beat the New England Patriots 33-26. And Key, this is a Vikings team that is sitting at 9-2 on the season, but a lot of people have had a hard time buying into this team. And last week they get blown out by the Cowboys and everyone's like, oh, there it is. This is the cracks. This is, you know, it's kind of been a fake run here for the Vikings. But then they go out yesterday. They do what they did against the Patriots. They look like they got it going again. Where do you stand on the Vikings? Are they for real?
I mean, I guess it would depend on what we mean for real, right? I think their record.
Just go ahead and say it, man. You're not a believer. It's okay.
Well, I didn't say that, Jay. I just said it depends on what we're talking about. If they're going to win the Super Bowl, no, I don't believe that they're going to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Do I believe they can win the division in a playoff game because they're going to be at home? Yes, I believe that. Does that mean that they can't all of a sudden get some luck because, I don't know, who would be the number one seed? Somebody gets hurt, a left tackle goes down, and they draw them. I don't know. I don't look at them and say to myself, okay, this team is getting ready to run the table and win the Super Bowl. No, but I think, you know, you just – sometimes teams look like this. They don't – everybody can't look like the Kansas City Chiefs. And at the end, I think they're just a good team.
You see, Key, here's how I look at it. I give Minnesota all the credit in the world because we often say this on this show, Amber, you are what your record states you are, right? I understand that. They have found ways to win games that last year they would have lost. But there's nothing that makes me trust this team to win multiple games to get to a Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Like it feels like the odds are stacked against them to lose early more so than win the Super Bowl. And I get that whether you want to double team, triple team Justin Jefferson, you know, his ability, best wide receiver in the game right now, right, with the style of play. And Kirk Cousins, with the exception of an errant pass, played exceptionally well. But there's still something that makes you feel – you're waiting for the bottom to fall out with this team when it matters the most. There's something about it that just doesn't feel right. I don't know. It just
is there something about it named Kirk Cousins? Because I think that this is what we do to Kirk
correct.
Cousins. And, I mean, we're always like, oh, well, he can't win the big one or he can't win in prime time. I mean, I guess Thanksgiving Day is like sort of prime time-ish. He did dominate the Patriots yesterday.
No. Yes. I believe – I don't think he could win a big one. I just – what's the likely probability that he's going to win the big one, Amber? I guess that's the question. Like, what would you say the probability is?
I would have it pretty low. I have a hard time buying into this team, too. And I've always had a hard time kind of getting rid of that Kirk Cousins narrative in my mind that people do to him. By the way, 30 of 37 yesterday, 299 yards passing, three touchdowns yesterday, one interception, a good day from Cousins. I just feel like this Patriots team, though, like I'm not about this Patriots team. I know people talk about this defense for the Patriots being pretty good. I don't want to take anything away from what the Vikings did yesterday, but I can't get over what they did the week before against the Dallas Cowboys. And yes, the Vikings are sitting at 9-2. I know the record is the record, Key, but it feels like the record is going to get them into the postseason and then they're going to fall flat.
Well, we can look at a lot of teams that way, right, Amber? We can look at the Miami Dolphins the same way. Are they a legitimate contender in the AFC, or are they just a team that wins one game and they get bounced in the playoffs because it looks like that they're going to fight for that division along with the Buffalo Bills? So you can look at them the same way you look at Baltimore. Can Baltimore really make some noise? It looks like they're going to probably win their division, but the first thing we say is what has been hunting them the entire time, the lack of success in the passing game. The New England Patriots, they do have a decent defense and a solid secondary, unlike most people thought coming into the year, because when they lost Jackson to the Chargers, people just assumed the secondary was going to fold apart. He did carve them up to a degree. Oh, see how I did that? Carved them up? Turkey day, the whole deal? I didn't mean to do it that way, but I did it. and so, you know, I don't believe that they're a Super Bowl team at all. I think they're a playoff team. That's what I believe.
You see, Amber, this is what happens. Like these – you know, we joke around that sometimes Max is really slick and he gets in these little sayings throughout like a long diatribe that sometimes you forget because maybe he said it at the beginning of the saying.
Leave Max alone.
No. I'm bringing it always back because that's what Key just did there, Amber. I don't know. See, this is what I deal with, Amber. Did you sense it? Did you hear
the low-key shot at the Dolphins? Is that what you're referring to?
Why are we saying that the Dolphins are the same as the Vikings? Like, the Dolphins give off way different vibes than the Vikings. We just came up a conversation, Key, about Kirk Cousins being the guy that you're really not trusting. And I'm sitting here saying Tua is second in the MVP race right now.
I gave an example of the Dolphins, the Baltimore Ravens.
No, it's a slight. You do it all the time.
In fairness to Key, no, listen, and you know I'm out here to defend my Dolphins all day, every day. But in fairness to Key,
I'm just going to not mention anything has to do with Dolphins ever again.
Well, that's probably good. Tuna will appreciate
that. You're doing us a service, please.
In fairness to Key, the one thing I'll say, the Dolphins in a much tougher division than the Vikings are, in large part thanks, of course, to Green Bay. It does feel like the path to the postseason here for Minnesota is going to be a much easier one. I still have a hard time believing in them in terms of a postseason. In Dolphins land over here, we're trying to win a playoff game for the first time in decades, right? With this Vikings team, I do think when you look at that record, though, people are thinking, hey, they're Super Bowl contenders. But either way, the Vikings yesterday were in the zone against the Patriots. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Coming up next, there are six huge games this weekend. We're going to dive into them. That is after Key has this word from Dr. Pepper.
Jay sending that narrative out.
No,
there,
see, Amber
like
just Amber got
I mean,
the break.
Dolphins
quick.
Hater.
Amber got the break real quick.
Roll
though.
Along. Mm-hmm. College football season, Dr. Pepper, and the residents of Fanville invite you to revel in another one of a kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post game day commentary. All washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is just around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a complete failgate and pick up a case of ice cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app, tap the More tab on the bottom right, scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Four Downs is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save.
First down.
Bears at Jets.
I can't with the voice. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, I guess the question would be, can the Jets overcome the loss of Zach Wilson? What loss? The fact that they decided to bench Zach Wilson and move on with Mike White, that is what they want to do right now, and I think they can overcome it. A lot of information was coming out of Jets camp earlier this year to me that Mike White actually was the better quarterback, but because Zach Wilson was the second pick in the draft, they had to play him and give him the opportunity to show that he was worth that. But here's the key to it. The Jets are -6.5, -6 points, the over-under a 38.5. So I'm picking the Jets in this one. I think the Jets are going to beat up on the Bears.
Mike White is the better quarterback? That's what you're hearing? I mean, we're about to find out, right? That's if, listen, if Mike White ends up being good for the Jets, then fine. They don't end up going back to Zach Wilson. But I hate this move by the New York Jets because the whole purpose of this season was supposed to be finding out whether you have your guy under center in the second overall pick in the draft that you took in 2021. We can't know that when he's in street clothes on the sidelines, Jay. That's not how you evaluate a quarterback. Now all of a sudden the Jets, because they're having a better season than expected, want to be winning games, and they think, I guess, a game manager and Mike White, a fifth rounder, is going to give them a better opportunity to do that. They're hoping to strike gold there. Meanwhile, they're going to end up going back to Zach Wilson and not, once again, knowing what they have in Zach Wilson, because they ain't win a Super Bowl with or without Mike White.
Yeah, but Amber, sometimes situations change, and I just feel like for them being in a playoff hunt, for where they are, with where Robert Saleh, who's always struck me as somebody who's practical and reasonable, he's been in that locker room. I think he would see this is the opportunity for Zach Wilson, who, by the way, is not even second string, third string with the practice squad now. That says something about where he is. If Mike White gives him a better chance, I'm all for the Giants and Robert Saleh doing what's in the best interest for the team, not for the quarterback.
Second down.
Bengals at Titans.
Cincinnati -3, over under is 43.5 here. I'm taking the Titans in this situation. When you look at this football team, they are starting to get into their groove running the football with Derrick Henry, a big pound and ground situation. I know a lot of people question Ryan Tannehill down the stretch. Can he deliver come playoff time, pushing the ball down the field? The last time we saw him in the playoffs, we remember the Cincinnati game. It gives us a little bit of a lemon, a little bit of taste of sour lemon in our mouths. But I think he can, and I'm picking the Titans in this one.
I mean, which of these teams are we underrating more here, Jay? Because the Titans are strange. A lot of people thought that their window had closed. I mean, they've been a Super Bowl contender now for years and sitting atop that AFC. And then Derrick Henry, the injuries to that entire Titans team last season. And a lot of people thought, all right, this is it. They trade away A.J. Brown. Like, this is their window closing. And then all of a sudden this season, seeming like, hey, D. Henry, first of all, ain't done. He's far from done. And the Titans, as long as he's not done, still have a real chance here.
It's like, which team do you like more? Look, I trust Vrabel's defense. I trust Derrick Henry. I like the style in which they play when they can control the clock. But I trust Joe Burrow more than I trust Ryan Tannehill to make plays down the stretch. And to me, when you have guys like T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase coming back eventually, Joe Mixon coming off dealing with the concussion issue, I just trust Joe Burrow's ability to make plays when you need it more than I trust Ryan Tannehill. So I'll take the Bengals.
Do you, Key? You trust the Bengals more than the Titans right now?
I don't. I trust the Titans more because of what they have. They can run the football. They can play solid defense. And Vrabel can coach football, okay? Ryan Tannehill made some mistakes against the Cincinnati Bengals a year ago in the playoffs. But you can correct those mistakes. It was a tip ball off the hands of a receiver, interception, and obviously he gave one to Cincinnati. But you can correct that.
Third down.
Texans at Dolphins.
Now, it says that team
that
down south
is hilarious.
His team down south is -14. Is that correct? Let's assume it is.
It is correct.
Yeah, 14-point favorite.
The team down south is -14. Over under says 14. I don't think that is correct, but okay,
no,
whatever the case
47.
Is.
47.
Okay, well, 47 over under.
Makes a lot more sense.
The so team down south.
Just say their name.
I said I'm not saying their name anymore. The team down south I'm picking. I believe they're going to take on the Texans, who just benched their quarterback at Davis Mills. They decided to go with the other guy instead. Miami's a good football team. They're fighting for this division with the Buffalo Bills. And there you go, the team down south.
You did say Miami.
No,
fairness.
Well, I didn't say the last part, though.
I mean, Jay, this is a cupcake one, or at least we assume. I mean, it should be, right, for the Dolphins. But why does Keyshawn Johnson hate Tua so much?
Oh, God.
You tell me, Amber. I mean, you tell me.
I mean, that is more interesting than talking about this actual game.
Way more interesting than talking about this game.
It's like,
what else does he need to do, Key? Does he need to beat Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen again and win his last seven games in a row for you actually to
be in the MVP conversation, be the most accurate passer in the league?
Come on.
I'm just going to wait for the bottom to fall out of that team down south.
That's where it is.
Because I'm tired of you poking me, and now all of a sudden you got her. doing the same thing.
No, you're doing it to yourself. No. See, no, Amber, this is why I told you before. Don't let him treat Tua the same way he's treating Kirk Cousins.
No, wait,
don't allow him to do it, Amber.
But, Key, why is the bottom going to fall out? Because, like, when we were talking about the Vikings and you made that comparison, a lot of people question the Vikings because they question Kirk Cousins' ability to win in the biggest moments, right? Oh. Why with this Dolphins team are you questioning it so much? No, or what I'm about not, Tua Amber. Makes you question him?
I'm not questioning the team down south at all. What I'm doing is I waited until the season, and then and now as they continue to play well, I'm like, okay, they got a good team. Now I want to see them go on the road in a hostile, cold environment and take what they do in South Florida and move to Buffalo and do that, move to New England and do that. Can they go to Baltimore, although they came from behind against the Ravens and won that game in the fourth quarter because the Ravens secondary completely dropped the ball in that situation? Can they do that? Can they go to Kansas City?
It's about cold weather.
It's about weather. It's about weather because beating Buffalo in Miami apparently doesn't convince Key of anything. But if they beat Buffalo in Buffalo, New York, then all of a sudden Key's convinced.
Yes.
Well, I think you know teams from South Florida or the Florida area in general, when they go on the road to cold environments, their game changes. And so I want to know if that game can sustain in those cold areas. And I'm not the only person that feels that way about the team in the South. Or down deep top.
Fourth down.
Corner down there.
Our blood's thinner down here.
Packers at Eagles.
Packers at Eagles. Philadelphia is 6.5, over under 46.5 in this football game. You know, the Packers have been struggling, obviously. I don't think they're going to get their mojo back going into Philadelphia against Jalen Hurts and company. I think if the Packers lose this football game, they might as well start calling the U-Hauls to start to bring and pack up their stuff so they can go on vacation after the season starts. It wouldn't be too early to start thinking that way.
Does Aaron Rodgers even care if they have to pack up their stuff and go on vacation? I feel like that's what he wants. Like, you know, he'll go into the woods somewhere. He'll do his thing. He'll take whatever he's taking. He'll have some fun, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers' entire attitude this season makes me question how much he even cares about what he's doing out there, frankly. And we saw some of the frustrations with him. We heard some of it even stemming back to training camp in terms of his receivers. I will give him credit here, though, because Aaron Rodgers has been driving me crazy the last couple years. But I'll give him credit here. I do think that it was commendable that Jay, he didn't come out and let us know about the broken thumb. In fact, stemming back to October, we were hearing that he had a hurt thumb. He had admitted on the Pat McAfee show that his thumb was quote unquote hurt. He was asked directly whether it was broken, and his response was, it hurts. Well, obviously it does hurt because in fact it's broken. But I guess what I like about it is that he didn't want to use excuses. And to me, that's a vet move. That's a reigning MVP move where he is having a down season, certainly compared to what we are used to from Aaron Rodgers. But instead of coming out and just letting us know, yo, my right thumb is broken on my throwing hand, he kind of kept it under wraps this whole time.
You mean like last year, Amber, where he talked about his pinky toe?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You mean that one while Jason Pierre-Paul was playing with the torn rotator cuff? Like everybody playing through injuries. So, look, I get it. At the end of the day, though, like, look, the Packers are one of these teams that you're always worried about. Do I think they're going to make a playoff run? No. And do I think Aaron Rodgers wants to be there long term? The money would suggest so, but not what I've seen from him personally. But I still think they're one of these teams you just never know because Aaron Rodgers is A-Rod. You know what I mean? He could turn on when he wants, if he can.
If he can. I mean, Key, it's a broken thumb. Aaron Rodgers says that he's had worse. He broke his index finger in college. He said playing through that was a whole lot worse than a broken thumb. Broken thumb seems problematic, though. Like, this doesn't feel like good news to me for the Packers.
No, it's not good news, and I'm sure it hurts like hell. But at the end, he's been able to play with it to some degree. He's had some laser throws in the situation. And then there's been other times where you look at it and you go, something's got to be wrong in these situations. Now that he's come out publicly and put it on notice that his thumb is broken now, what does that mean? That means, can he get underneath the center? Do they have to stay in the gun? Like, what does that mean?
It's been broken since week five, Keith.
It's been broken for months, apparently. And by the way, he didn't actually come out and say this. I think it was like a Make-A-Wish kid that ended up, like, he had told them, and then he ended up releasing the information or something, which is where we end up getting this from. But he had been on the injury report all this time with a hurt thumb, but we didn't know it was actually broken. Right?
Yeah, he's been able to play, though, so there's no excuses there.
Bonus down.
Michigan at Ohio State.
Let's go.
College ball.
You went to Duke, for crying out loud.
My parents went to the Ohio State.
Michigan at Ohio State. Ohio State minus 7.5. over under 56 here. I guess the question would be, whoever wins this football game, what's going to happen? I think Ohio State rolls Michigan. Michigan going in there with a freshman quarterback, that's not going to bode well for the Wolverines. I know that they, you know, they playing well and they got a good – they're almost falling the situation for me like the Minnesota Vikings and that team down south.
See, I feel a little differently about this one. I know a lot of people think Ohio State's going to roll, and we certainly had been used to seeing that in some years. But over those years when Ohio State used to blow out Michigan, Harbaugh's teams were always good, but then they'd get to this game and Ohio State would just absolutely dominate. From those years, I feel like he learned his lesson and built this team now to match up better with Ohio State, where now they play that more pro style of defense. He does that on purpose to match up with this Ohio State team. I actually don't think that this is going to be as easy for Ohio State as people think, Jay. I'll take Michigan in this game.
You're taking Michigan to cover?
Yeah. Well, cover.
Cover or win?
How? What was the Pat just deleted the spread off my screen. What was it?
I think it was seven and a half point favorite.
Minus seven and a half.
I'm just taking win straight up. The
cover. Amber. Seven and a half. Well, it's going to be interesting for Michigan with a lot of injuries, though, right? Like, you talk about running back Blake Kerm left last week's game with a knee injury. Running back Donovan Edwards is banged up as well. So, look, at the end of the day, C.J. Stroud at home, a big-time game. And remember what happened last year, right? So I think that this is a payback game for Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins big at home, frankly.
Do you? That's right.
Yes.
You didn't go to Ohio State, though.
Keith, my mom and my dad went to
Ohio
State.
You didn't go.
I grew up a Buckeye fan watching football.
You
root for multiple teams.
You burned them and went to Duke.
I didn't even get recruited by Ohio State for basketball.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
That's not what I heard.
What did you hear through your streets in the basketball knowledge that you have? Go ahead. What did you hear?
The bag was bigger in other places. Well,
that is accurate as well, kid. That is not. You are not telling lies.
Bonus down.
Notre Dame at Keyshawn Johnson's USC Trojans.
Here we go.
Notre Dame at USC. We've got to let that breathe.
Now you have to let that breathe. You have to be objective here, Key, because you're giving Jay so much stuff.
No, but
about
I actually went
objective.
To USC, so I don't have to be objective, Amber. I look at this situation, USC five and a hook. Now, Pat originally had minus 55, knew something was wrong. Over under is 64.5. Jay, that is a good number. You should take that all day long because SC could flat out score points on the offensive side of the ball. We are legit contenders. We've got to run the table. We've got to take care of business against a ranked Notre Dame team. We took care of business against a ranked UCLA team. We already qualified for the Pac-12 championship. All we have to do is win this football game. Don't stub our toe. Roll into Las Vegas on December 2nd and take care of business against whoever we play, whether it's Oregon or Washington or whoever they give us. And then we can find ourselves in the college football playoff.
Key, what's a big concern you have? What's your biggest concern against Notre Dame?
Our size on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Notre Dame is big and stout. They can't run with us. We're track meet out there, but defensively, we're a little smallish and we could get pushed around a little bit. But I think if anything, we could score like that. Like, we could score on two plays.
USC has a 42.5% chance to make the playoffs if they win out, according to All State's playoff predictor. I feel like it should be higher than that, frankly. They went out, they are in. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Max Kellerman today. We are presented to you by Progressive Insurance. That's college ball. Let's get back to some NFL talk, though. Rob Ninkovich, ESPN's NFL analyst, joins us now on KJM. And Rob, thanks for joining us once again. Nick, we didn't get a chance, I don't think, to talk about Justin Fields when you and I spoke yesterday. He's working through an AC joint injury. We still don't know if he's going to get the go this week. How do you think the Bears should handle this situation, though, with Justin Fields?
Well, I think they got to protect him from himself. You know, as the football player, you want to be out there, you want to play. And, you know, it's tough because I've had an AC, and it's very painful. I remember having an AC joint, and I had a hard time tying my shoes. It's going to be really hard for him to throw a football because you got to really torque your body. And then not to mention, he's a running quarterback. He likes to scramble. He likes to extend plays. He likes to use his legs to his advantage. So at some point, he's going to get hit. And I know you can, like when I had mine, they injected it, and you didn't really feel it. But the problem with that is, it's after, it's like the next day, and it takes a lot longer for it to heal. So if I'm the Bears, I would make sure that my quarterback is not putting himself in harm's way. I want to give him a little rest and make sure that he was good to go, because he's been doing such a good job this year after the Patriots' victory. They've kind of like found their own – they've found their way, so to speak, with his ability to get out of the pocket, to be explosive, to make plays with his feet. So I just don't want to see him maybe further injure that AC joint.
Yeah, Nick, yeah. I wouldn't have him play. I would have him sit out this game. Let's go to the other side of this matchup for a second. Obviously, yesterday, Robert Saleh talked about Zach Wilson not being a starter, them going with Mike White instead. Now Wilson is third on their depth chart because they have Joe Flacco as the backup. Is Zach Wilson's time with the Jets done?
No, because of the money. Like, he's the second overall pick. I'd have a hard time envisioning them just completely burying him because of the fact that he is a first-round pick. And at the end of the day, somebody picked him at that spot. Somebody's going to have to see a return in their investment. So I'm sure that this is probably a, you know, punishment, slap on the wrist, whatever, grow up kid, learn from your mistake type situation. He's going to have another opportunity. That's my two cents on it because of how much money he's making.
Yeah, you're probably right to a degree there, Nink, about the money. It's a little bit different now, though, with these first-round picks. As you could tell, teams move on from them fast. I mean, now, if Mike White catches fire and this team responds to him differently offensively, it's going to be interesting to see what happens the following week and the week after and the week after that, because you know – what happens with guys when they get hot down playoff stretches, coaches will not. They do not like to change because there's the hope now. Now you got hope. They take care of business on Sunday. Now you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, this looks a little bit different to us. And Mike White has a chance to make, I guess you would call it history for the first time for a guy, second round pick, a second overall pick to be benched for a guy that no one even had promise for, who was on the third on the depth chart at the quarterback spot, who has now replaced him. In fact, Zach Wilson should possibly be inactive this week, being the third quarterback. What does that say?
I think it says that they don't have confidence in Zach Wilson to be mature enough in certain situations. You know, we saw the interview, but there was other things that probably went into that, probably, I'm sure, behind closed doors. More things that we don't even know about, that maybe they don't like the way he preps or the way that he prepares or the way he enacts, he reacts and has a relationship with his teammates. Yeah, so all those things, depending on the performance of White here, how he goes out and how he looks, like, yeah, I agree that people move on quickly, but, you know, I think there also could be a hunger thing here too. Maybe, you know, what is it? Fed dogs sleep and hungry dogs eat. So maybe this is one of them things they're trying to get Zach Wilson to be more motivated, to be a better teammate, to be a better football player. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Nick, let's go to the NFC for a second and let's talk about the good old Vikings. When you think about it, do they have a higher chance? And in your reckoning, do they have a higher chance of getting to the Super Bowl or losing in the first round of the playoffs?
I kind of like the way that they play as far as they've had a lot of one-score games. I think they have the most one-score victories in the league right now. And that is something that in the playoffs, like, you have to be able to handle certain situations where every possession that you have the football – you have to either score or have a stop defensively. And, you know, last night, I think it was an entertaining game. I know there's some controversial calls, whatnot, with you know, some of the things that happened. But I think that they probably have a better shot of becoming a team that you got to respect and having a deep playoff run than being one and done in the playoffs. You know, they're uber talented now as far as receiving core, running back. You know, you can't sleep on Kirk Cousins. I think he's done a terrific job this year. And last night he made a bunch of great throws. Yeah, he had one interception. But, the Vikings look like the real deal team. and they're mentally tough and they're hardened because they've played a lot of close football games. And in the playoffs, there aren't really there's not the blowouts and those like runaway victories. They're all pretty close. So when you can have those in the regular season, you get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Rob Ninkovich, ESPN's NFL analyst. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care. All right.
The Vikings beat the Pats yesterday 33-26. They are sitting at 9-2 on the season, and we are still questioning whether they are the real deal. Coming up next, let's answer that ourselves. Are the Vikings going to make the Super Bowl? This is KJM on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.